That's composer Hank Mobley on tenor sax with Soul Station, the title track of his 1960 album, which also features some other incredible greats: Wynton Kelly on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Art Blakey on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And, well, we pick up from where we left off with each other yesterday, talking about what are we to make of the current situation in Washington, D.C. with Donald Trump. He's been in office just 6 weeks, but Donald Trump has already worn out his welcome, it seems. His abrasive nature, unrelenting narcissism, and tendency to play fast and loose with the facts are just a few of the reasons he's polling as the least popular U.S. president this early in his term of office. The events of last week aren't improving Trump's appeal, but they do seem to be galvanizing an effort among disparate groups to explore ways to get him out of the White House. Trump, as you remember, alleged that prior to the 2016 election, his predecessor, President Barack Obama, a supporter of Hillary Clinton, had his campaign headquarters wiretapped. Trump so far has not offered any evidence to support his claim, and the heads of his own intelligence agencies have said they have found nothing to confirm that such a thing even happened. The situation is bizarre. There's only that word to describe it. A sitting president accusing a former president of a crime that has not yet been proven. Making such a charge can expose Trump to a slander suit by Obama and can even serve as grounds for Trump's impeachment. Where it is, in fact, legal experts working for Trump's opponents are looking at taking Trump to court as the first step of getting him out of the White House. Now, this is an interesting scenario because although Trump has made these what people believe are, many people believe, especially his critics, they believe them to be outlandish claims. This is crazy. This goes way beyond any of the bizarre and outlandish things he has done so far. But, you know, we also have to keep in mind, especially like today, when you have WikiLeaks publishing hundreds of thousands of CIA files showing the clandestine nature of course, what it does. That's part of what it does. It spies. So we have reason to be skeptical here, even though Trump is a bore. He is really irritating. He has made all kinds of charges and statements that have no basis in fact so far. He tends to talk off the cuff, and the more outlandish his claims, the more he is guaranteed some kind of attention, and he's all about attention and marketing and all the other things associated with it. So in a way, he has created his own problem, and it shows that really, they ought to have been somebody around Donald Trump, and somebody should now permanently play that role of trying to just get this guy to not shoot himself in the foot all the time. So even though this is the scenario here with Trump making this accusation, no evidence so far, and it is a very serious matter. This is a very, very serious matter. This is not one of those things you could go, oh, well, you know, there he goes again. It's not one of those things. This is a very serious situation. And it could, depending on how his enemies handle it, it could lead to his impeachment. We'll get to that. But what I wanted to talk about in this sense here, with this president, when we have a situation where the head of state is seen to be so out of control, it raises other questions that are equally important and equally significant, which is this guy going to just keep on this way and with his mouth and other ways of compromising the country that he is president of? I mean, this is how wars start. But more importantly, we see, again, I come back to the central question we've been dealing with in so many ways. What's going on in Congress? What's going on within his own party? What's going on in the opposition parties to stop this man? Is he even stoppable? Could anybody stop this president from being so clearly self-annihilating? It reaches the point where you can't help but say there is something wrong with this president if he can't put these things together and figure out this is not the way to behave. This is not what you do. Even if you were not in office, this is not the way you conduct yourself as the head of anything, any organization, any company. You just don't do these kinds of things. And we see the ripple effect. I mean, just this administration and its several of its members of the cabinet have already done some really stupid, I mean, just plain stupid things. You wonder, how is it surprising that people look upon the United States as a bunch of really crazy people? We have our Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Now, here's a retired brain surgeon comparing, in a speech he gave yesterday upon introducing himself formally to his department, Dr. Ben Carson talks about the great, wonderful America, the land of opportunity. And shores up that theme by juxtaposing and correlating the immigrant experience, how immigrants came to the United States and they worked hard, sometimes 12 and 14 and 16 hours a day, he said, in the hope of providing a better life for their sons and grandsons and great-grandsons and daughters. And in the same breath, he says, and they weren't the only ones. We have other immigrants as well who came to this country in the hold of ships. And they worked hard for less money. But they worked hard so that their sons and grandsons and granddaughters and great-grandchildren could have a better life. Now, you have to find out what's going on in this brain surgeon's brain to make a stupid, that's just plain stupid, a stupid analogy like that, a stupid statement like that. And the frightening part is this is a person who has the authority to make decisions, at least ostensibly. I have a different view. I believe that this Department of Housing and Urban Development is going to be a boondoggle for somebody connected to Donald Trump whose family background and whose professional background is in real estate. So, but what I'm getting at is the temperament, it's catching, or perhaps it is just has always been there, and we're just getting to appreciate the like-mindedness of the small-mindedness of the people running the country. Now, how are you going to say something that dumb? Or Betsy DeVos saying that historically black colleges and universities are a perfect example of the benefits of school choice. I mean, you have to be beyond stupid to say something like that. You have to be so disconnected from daily life, from reality. You have to be so insulated and isolated from the reality that we are all living to make statements like this. And it reflects, of course, your own cultural numbness and your short-circuited vision. But it is now from the top down. We have Donald Trump making these crazy statements without offering a shred of evidence. And at the same time, you don't want to come to any absolute conclusions because the history of the United States is that of lies, lies, and more lies. It is quite possible that he's telling the truth. He hasn't proven it, but it is quite possible. So here we are, the people being governed by a very unpredictable, very, it looks like, unstable, an unstable person. And many members of his cabinet are demonstrating a kind of disconnect that should really concern people. I mean, you can't be so disconnected from the world and history and reality as to liken immigrants, European immigrants, to the same experience that slaves have had in this country. And you're in a policymaking position. So let's go back to Donald Trump himself. You can't tell me that you're comfortable nobody could really say to me they're comfortable with a leader who conducts himself this way. But at the same time, if people handle the situation right and use it as a strategic moment, Donald Trump once again put himself in a position of causing his own real downfall if people who are moving against him can make a case here that Donald Trump, in making these statements, that Donald Trump slander or libel President Obama. I'm sure there are legal experts looking at this question. Is this a way to dislodge Donald Trump through the courts and through legal action with respect to a libel suit? Does he enjoy any special privilege as the President of the United States of immunity here, that he cannot be sued because he made the statement in the context of his role as President of the United States? Or are there facts to come that, in fact, will support his claim that his campaign headquarters had been wiretapped and at the direction of Barack Obama? Very wisely, President Obama hasn't said anything, except, of course, to make a basic blanket statement of denial that he ever did something like this. But the person who is the aggressor here, which is Trump, is he in the clear, or is he about to get a very large wake-up call that could put him smack in the middle of an impeachment proceeding? What are your thoughts? We'll take this short break and come back and talk about what do you see as a legal remedy here? What should happen here? It's been reported. It's been denied. Even Donald Trump has had his FBI director and CIA director drawn into this as denying having any knowledge that the Trump campaign headquarters had been, in fact, compromised by wiretaps at the direction of Barack Obama. But you know, this could be, if people, you know, if you see legal experts, and we'll get to them, you know, but we talk usually among ourselves first. Let's talk this out. Is Trump in a very delicate position here, and of course of his own making, to take on this slanderous or potentially slanderous activity here, calling President Obama a renegade president? In fact, he himself coined the phrase a kind of Watergate situation here. But for us, as the rest of the nation, we have a very interesting scenario. A sitting president basically charging a former president with an impeachable crime. Even though, of course, he's no longer in office, as you look back, based on the charge that Trump is making, this is an impeachable crime, as it was in the Nixon scenario, where he tapped the Democratic Party headquarters at Watergate. This president, I'm clear, as I said early on, I'm clear that there's something wrong here with the president of the United States. There's something psychologically wrong with this man, that he doesn't get it, and that he repeatedly shoots himself in the foot all the time. And he basically has adopted, this is part of his personality. This is part of how he lives his life. He's offensive, unthinking, brash, rash, and clearly not, you know, his mouth is in overdrive, his brain is in neutral. Now, when you consider the potential for very serious fallout from a personality type like this that imperils everybody, it's not just about him, it's about everybody. In this world, heads of state have to be very, very careful about what they say. You can have a war in a hot minute based on what somebody says. And that's why they have several layers of protection. They tend to, anyway, around them, several different filters that try to make sure that the head of state doesn't do something stupid that would put a nation out of no fault of its own, but can put the nation at the very center of a very bad situation based on what they say and how they conduct themselves. So let's take this break. Let's come back and talk about this. Is there now a potential for those who have been trying to find a way to get Trump out of office? Did Trump provide a potentially lethal weapon here in the form of slandering a previous president and raising this scenario without any proof? And what then do people do? What do we do? We ask a question all the time. What do we do? What can we do? Right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, I'm Yatrice Lead. Your calls and comments and observations and analysis at 888-874-4888. Is there a possibility of using Trump's own foibles against him, and would it or could it result in a very serious action against him that would inevitably get him out of the White House? David from Brooklyn, you get to start us off today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I've felt for a long time there's no such thing as a private telephone call. You know, they have means to monitor every telephone call that is made. So it wouldn't be surprising that somehow people got to Trump's telephone calls. So that's one thing that I have in mind. Also, you know, the histrionics of President Trump have certain appeal to the people who supported him and they certainly get the attention of the media, the written media and electronic media. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that he separated himself from those other 16 or 17 competitors for the job of president. So that's the way I see it. Now, also, a few days ago, I was listening to Dr. Wessling, and she was talking about the same thing we talk about all the time, system analysis and game playing, as, you know, playing the game in my book. But the point is this. Trump, no matter what he's been saying and his histrionics, he's staying on mission. And the mission is to enrich the ruling class as much as they can be enriched through the budget and through the things he is recommending, changing in terms of regulations and so forth. So these little sideshow things about talking bad about ex-President Obama and whatnot, it's interesting. And I guess the ruling class is mad because Trump is not on a short leash like they could have kept Mrs. Clinton. And he's roaming around. He's on a very long leash. And I think that is what they're mad about, because they didn't get their person who could be kept more under control. So that is the way I see it. But I see the main thing is that he is on mission to enrich those in the real power. In other words, the president is a manager. He's not a real executive officer. He's a manager for those in the deep state and those who control things. So the current president, no matter who it is a manager. Now, you know, some people are very confused what it means to be president. They think that the president is there to benefit the mass of people that live here. And I don't see that as being true at all. I see the president being in a service position as manager to do what he can to maintain capitalism and imperialism. Now, some people say, well, old Franklin Delano Roosevelt was wonderful and whatnot, and that's the type of president. But they don't realize that he did those things, like creating the programs during the Great Depression of the welfare situation for people and families, the WPA, the Social Security, and those things. So under a capitalist system like we have here, the president will do what is necessary to keep the possibility for rebellion and keep the people in place by giving certain things. But as you go along, when things, conditions change, what happens with new presidents, and when the ruling class sees it's time to change, they change. Like, for example, the right-to-work laws under President Truman, they got that through. And that was a take-back against the unions. And then later on, even up to Obama, when he threw out an idea that he would take back some things from Social Security by upping the age. So what happens in this society is when they have to give something, they give it. And when they see an opportunity to take it back, they take it back.
But so, let's look at the situation.
The president
here, the
is all a big part of that. And all this idea about you like this one, like that one, and the duopoly that we have, Republican and Democrat, which frees, generally speaking, everybody else out, that's the game. And if you don't know the game.
Let me ask you this, though. We have a specific situation, and I just wanted to know your thinking about it. Here is a sitting president who has made a very serious charge against his predecessor, his immediate predecessor, a charge that is also impeachable. I mean, but if Donald Trump had brought this charge earlier, it could have really, really thrown the election for a loop. The charge is that Barack Obama committed a major crime. This is a major crime. He hasn't produced any proof about it. And even his own intelligence agencies are saying no such thing happened. There is no indication that any such thing happened. What should the... I mean, in the scheme of things, as we talk about political strategy and so forth, what should the opposition be doing with this scenario now, in which ostensibly Donald Trump is in a very dicey position? What should they do?
Well, there's so many things to do. They may not select that is the first thing to put on the agenda. I would say that there's a possibility, as he has mentioned, to investigate this, and maybe they should join along with him and say, we'll investigate it. But the point is, as I just recently said, that, you know, I don't think there's anything as a private telephone call. And, you know, to me, this is not a master issue in terms of what is going on right now. So,
well, it could be. All I'm saying is sometimes opportunities present themselves in the weirdest ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that we can dictate what they ought to do. I'm saying, given the scenario, there are people who really can't stand him, don't want him in office, can't wait to get him out. Here's an opportunity that presents itself as perhaps a basis for getting that agenda item done. Should they do it? Will they do it?
Well, the point is what you said. There are people who feel that way, and there are many people who feel the opposite way, and, you know, and there's quite a few of them. So that would be a major battle, and I don't think...
It might be a major battle, but you do have some ground rules that appear to have been broken here. When you make a charge that impugns somebody's character, that basically is a lie, you know, allegedly is a lie, when you can't prove what you're saying, but you're making statements that are so damaging, the law does provide that you could or should be made to pay a price for that. You're damaging people's character and you're damaging their reputation. There's a law for that. There's a way to solve that.
Would that be
something that the opposition should seriously begin to consider dragging Donald Trump, compelling him to prove his accusation, and if he cannot prove what he has said, this might be one of the ways to have him pay the price, and the price being to forfeit his presidency.
Well, that's a possibility. I look at it this way. In terms of people lying on each other. That happens all the time.
And, yeah, but this is not regular lying.
Right.
People lie on each other.
I understand that.
This is one president lying against or allegedly lying, making very, very serious charges against another president. This is not ordinary lying at all.
Yes,
stuff that could land him in court and make him pay a very large price. But you got us started today, David. Thank you so much for getting us started today.
All right, very good. Bye.
Thank you. Adink from New York, you're on the air.
How are you doing, Utrice?
Fine, thanks. I'm hanging in. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. You know, I'm sitting here listening to you, and I can't help but think of The Matrix and that lady saying to Neo, "It is a pickle."
What's the pickle?
And there's only, huh?
His what situation. What is the pickle?
His situation seems to me to be a Hegelian dialectic. You know?
Hey, you can't talk this kind of way in public. You have
I'm
to
sorry.
Explain what you mean.
It appears to me that it is, the term that is normally used is a setup.
Now, who is being set up?
Mr. Trump.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, President Trump. And it's obvious that he has some enemies. Or some people who don't want him to be there. Those people who don't want him to be there appear to be very powerful. And I don't believe that if they want to do something and he responds to it, okay, that he will not respond in a manner different than what they expect. And that they would obviously clean up whatever, you know, evidence that would necessarily need to be cleaned up, and therefore he would look like he's crazy.
Okay.
But that's just
don't you think at the time that he makes such a charge,
he should
come across as being very credible? He isn't being credible right now. He's just seen as another, you know, just flapping his lips, just, you know, going.
Exactly. This is exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying he doesn't look credible, as you said. And the reason he doesn't look credible is because he has nothing to back up what he's saying to give him credibility. So if you have no credibility, you know. Huh?
What about? It's possible that he does. And the game here is to see who makes the first move to compel the evidence to come forward.
Now, if
he's
that's
not,
the situation.
He has said what he has said. Mm-hmm. All right. And people are saying, well, you have no proof. The legal
right.
question is, does he have to have proof when he says these things? Or is he going to produce proof once the main target, which would be Obama, makes the first move to compel him to produce evidence, but he's not interested in doing that for some reason.
Now, that would be great insight, okay, on his part. If that is the situation, that would be a great chess move, and I hope that's the case.
Hmm. Do you think, irrespective of the strategy here, do you think that Trump was wise to behave this way, to make these outrageous, to be outrageous claims, and just leaving it there and, you know, to see what the reaction would be?
Only if the case is as you... as you surmise, only if he has something that he's holding that he wants them to bring out. Okay, if he has something that he wants them to bring out, and you see, it's like it's a chess game. if he has something that he wants them to bring out and he made his move, right, and the next move is for them to bring him to, you know, to bring him to some kind of litigation, and under that litigation we have discovery, and under the discovery that comes out, well, that's a great move.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that President Obama is reacting appropriately? Or what about his reaction or lack thereof that causes you to rethink the scenario?
Well, it appears to me that, and I don't know, because, you know, okay, first of all, I must admit, I don't follow politics that great, okay? But if Obama is actually a nemesis for Trump, and he has something that he does not want to come out, then he acted appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that eventually President Obama will make a move that will pretty much shut Donald Trump's lights off with this business of just making statements and not caring about the fallout?
It all depends on what is under the table.
Hmm. A very dicey situation, wouldn't you say?
It is a pickle.
It's a pickle. It's a pickle involving two presidents. Now, this is what is so fascinating. And, you know, life is just going on. But in the meantime, we have some devastating charges that were made. We still have not gotten what would back up, whatever it is that would back up Trump's claim. And we have, correspondingly, we have no, other than just your basic statement, refuting the allegation, we have nothing else. We have no other reaction from Barack Obama at all yet. But something clearly is happening. And we have, in the meantime, the sitting president even going to war with his own intelligence agencies. He's arguing with them. He's telling them that they're wrong when they say that there's no evidence that this happened. He's fighting with them. I mean, how do you explain all of this?
I would say, in one word, WikiLeaks.
WikiLeaks. Well, we'll see, because the Vault 7 was released today. Thank you very much. I enjoyed your analysis. Thank you. Matt from New York, you're on the air. Hello, Matt. Are you there?
Yes, I certainly am. Greetings to the beloved family.
Thank you.
Yeah, first of all, I want to clarify something. John Dean, who, of course, was Nixon's attorney and was also somewhat of a whistleblower in that situation, he was on, I think it was CNN or MSNBC, and he was making the point that a president, while sitting, cannot be sued either civilly or criminally, but in terms of a libel, because it is libel as opposed to just slander, because it was put in that tweet early Saturday morning, is that when a person is out of office, then those type of suits could pursue. So I just want to clarify that point of information. I tell you, it gets more bizarre each day you turn on the news. I think it's a way for him to sort of deflect from what is, I think, is a real issue in terms of the Russia connection. Yes. So I wanted just to give you a chance to focus your question, so I'm on point with your question, Utrice.
Well, yes. I mean, there is that area of law, libel law, that a sitting president slandered, or who believes himself to be slandered by statements. I mean, public figures, it has to do with public figures, are basically fair game for people wanting to express whatever opinions they have about such a person. But there are a number of questions here that have to be fleshed out. It's not just a blanket statement of immunity. We have to figure out in what capacity did Donald Trump make this statement. Did he make the statement as a former candidate, I imagine? Did he make the statement as the sitting president? What exactly would be the parameters to get it clear in what capacity are we, from a legal perspective, are we to regard Donald Trump making this accusation? And to what degree can President Obama argue that Donald Trump making these statements and at this time would cause incredible damage to his future, to his life and future? So
to
the legal
future?
Experts will have to decipher within the context of libel law or defamation whether defamation occurred here. But we still have this matter of a president, a sitting president, making these statements as they pertain personally to him as a former candidate, because this supposedly happened toward the end of his campaign, and having, or the intention was to torpedo his success at the polls. But now, having won the race, having become president, he's making these statements, but in a way that troubles people because he's not producing any backup. He's just making a statement. Under libel law or defamation law, I mean, I don't know the specifics and the details of it. I did have one of the country's most expert libel lawyers teaching in my journalism training program, Victor Kovner, extraordinary person. We'll talk to the experts. But it raises the question about whether the president, any president, but specifically in this case, whether Barack Obama can claim to be harmed by the statements made or the accusation made by Donald Trump. Whether Donald Trump, in making the statement, has footing, has some kind of legal basis for making the statement, because in the end, he's making a charge, he's making an accusation. And this is no ordinary person to make such an accusation of. This is the head of state. And he also is a head of state. So all these factors will come into determining what are the ground rules here for arguing about defamation and for libel and for slander, because he also, you know, sent it out in a tweet. So all these things have to be factored in. I'm interested, apart from those questions, I'm interested in what does our gut feeling tell us about what the right thing to do here is. What might be the motivations here? What would be the benefit of proceeding with this case through the normal channels, even like Congress or hearings or investigations, whatever? What could possibly be yielded from this nasty scenario that we're in?
Well, I think one thing he and his crew are asking for a congressional investigation, and that's basically a way. He's basically a showman, and that's a way to deflect from some of his prime troubles. The other aspect of it is the elevator does not go up to the top floor. There's a missing knife in the drawer. And this has been treated seriously by Lawrence O'Donnell. What's his name? Lawrence O'Donnell on the Last Word. He had both a psychiatrist, I think that he retired, and another one of that profession or a psychologist. And what they were talking about was the duty to warn, meaning that the what they came up with after the Goldwater had been his mental health had been speculated about, that ethically it wasn't proper unless you had interviewed the person. And the mental health professionals were actually saying, no, that doesn't apply, that doesn't make sense, because you have someone whose behavior that you have many examples of is in front of you, and that is truly a danger because of the mental instability. So therefore, the duty to warn. He is obviously not a psychologically healthy person, and that's something, because nobody feels comfortable. As North Korea is lobbing missiles, Donald Trump is so narcissistic, pathologically so, he's not able to respond in any meaningful manner because he's way above his head, doesn't have a clue, and he's also pathological in many ways, too.
What, from your gut feeling, because that's where we are today, just talking from our gut, what do you think of the scenario as it has developed? What do you think is happening here?
I'm not sure, because there's a section or a faction or a school of thought that in order to get to the one world order, that the people who are really controlling things want is that the U.S. has to be taken down. So you don't know whether this is sort of like a planned scenario and goes along with the powers, the real powers that be, or whether Pence is going to be put in place, who the Republicans really want, and then Donald is going to be pushed out of the way.
So here we have a very dicey situation. We don't have any way or any indication that Trump's own administration would basically come to his assistance and really do a very thorough job of investigating his charge. Because clearly many people within the party can't stand him, don't like him. They've already indicated that, publicly, they have contradicted Trump's claim. They've said that they've dismissed it, that this thing never happened.
And you treat one of the points being made at some of the cable networks is that he could have, like with Don Lemon and such, he could have picked up the phone as president, called the NSA or the anyone or the FBI, said be here in 5 minutes, and that he could have had any evidence of such an accusation. But of course he didn't. It's his own way to deflect from what's really a real concern, and his part of being part of a reality show, essentially.
Yeah, he's made a charge, and now this is why Barack Obama is being dead silent beyond the one sentence refutation. He's not going to even give it the dignity of legitimizing the charge by refuting it. So it's a very interesting situation. I'm watching it, and we will be talking with experts in defamation law and all of that. But for me, the larger conversation is far more interesting, and that is, what the heck is this? Is it possible that Donald Trump is actually, for once, even though he's, of course, shooting off his mouth, is he actually telling the truth? Is there something to this? Could it possibly be true? And
well,
if so, then what?
we know he's a pathological liar, you know, even about the rain on Inauguration Day or his vote tally of the popular vote, which, of course, is another serious charge because that's going to be part of their effort of voter suppression. So the plot thickens and continues.
It certainly does.
thank you so much
for your input today. Well, we have time to take a short call from Eric from Albany.
Hello, Idris.
Hello.
As far as I'm concerned, this is all a big smokescreen because we've got two big dates coming up on the horizon. First, beware the Ides of March. The 15th of March, we hit the debt ceiling, and the Congress is going to have to either raise it or default. And the Republicans have made staked so much capital on cutting the debt that they're going to be loath to the deficit. And then you've got 6 weeks later, the continuing budget resolution expires. And that's where they're going to hit us with the health care cutbacks when they have to renegotiate the main budget. So I think this is all a huge distraction.
Well, it is a distraction, but it just the same, it has happened. And we have to figure out what does this mean? What is this all about? And how is it to be treated?
But if they're going to crash the economy, what difference does it make? I mean, back in January, The Hill ran an article about them wanting to cut $1 trillion out of the federal budget. And if they do that, that's going to affect a tremendous number of jobs. And as long as I can remember, the Republicans have refused to acknowledge the multiplier effect in federal spending, where $1 trillion of federal spending adds up to way more than $1 trillion in economic effect, and they're going to have some explaining to do.
But we still have to also keep in mind that this is how the universe works. I mean, it is, things happen concurrently that may or may not be related, but that's how they happen. So we're trying to decipher this particular thing that happened, and we don't know where it's going. We don't know what happened. Since the big accusation, we don't know what has happened since then. With the intelligence agencies saying, we've looked at it, and sorry, he's our president, but we find no basis, in fact, for his claim. We have Barack Obama, who is a target, being very, very quiet, saying absolutely nothing other than this did not happen. But just the same, it has happened. It is a fact. What happens now? And we can't seem to get to that point for reasons that we still don't understand. We don't know. But we'll keep looking at it. Thank you so much, Eric, for your participation today. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Infectious Myth with David Crow. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. And as always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. Today, I'm going to have my bones in my arm and shoulder looked at as a follow-up to my wonderful fall. So tomorrow, I may be in great pain. I don't know, but life goes on. Thank you so much for your messages of concern and support. I really do appreciate it. So we'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.